Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Bring a little sunshine indoors with the exciting new arrivals in store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. Joe at RT.ie, 51551 is our text number. Angela, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How's it going?
Good. How are you? And this, tell us, where were you at the weekend?
I was above in Ballyshannon at the Royal Gaelic Festival, and it was absolutely brilliant. Brilliant.
As always, it's been going on for many years. Rory Gallagher, as we know, was born in Ballyshannon. His father was working on building up the power station there, and then he subsequently moved to Cork. Okay, you're at the Rory
That's
Gallagher.
That's right, he's buried there.
At the Rory.
Yes, I was there at the festival anyway, and everything was tickety-boom. We had a great time.
So what's going on, as Rory would say?
What's going on is my van is absolutely ruined. My mobile camper.
Destroyed.
My motorhome is ruined because we drove to roadworks around Sligo, or just around Sligo, and I had to put on the wipers full speed. I thought it was just muck from the road. But then my husband and I got out to make a cup of tea, and we looked at the side of the van, and it was destroyed. So we said we'd better take it in for a wash. But then they told me at the car wash on the way down near Limerick, they said, don't go near it with the car wash. They said, that's all sticky stuff from the road. So we don't know what it is. And I still can't find out what it is, but it did happen at the roadworks.
And is it tar or asphalt?
I don't know what it is. I sent you an email. Did you see the podcast?
I saw it. It's horrific. Yeah, terrific. You'll never. And what did you use to try and get it off your camper van?
I'll tell you what I used, because somebody suggested to me. Somebody said use petrol, and somebody else said don't. It'll ruin the paintwork, because it's a new enough van. It's only 2 years old. Motorhome, our retirement home. Anyway, I used baby oil and a little pad. But now, Joe, I'm not going to go around all the little van. At my age, I'm a pensioner, going around the van with a baby oil and a little pad, like you take your makeup off.
People,
but that it works. But sure, I can't be doing that.
Well, people think you've gone soft to the head. going around, cleaning your. I know you love your camper van, but going around cleaning with baby oil. I can't imagine what the neighbours will say.
Or should the neighbours will take none of it? They think I'm cracked as a goat anyway.
Oh, okay.
But anyway,
as it goes. You know what it
looks like.
They
probably wouldn't take any notice.
They
probably think I'm taking off little marks, you know.
Okay, that's your... And do you have a name? Have you got a name on your camper van? Have you a pet name on it?
Oh, it's our love boat. It's a boat.
It's a love boat?
Yeah.
For you and who?
Oh, sure, it's fantastic. We go off in it there. We go off in all the festivals. And
brilliant.
Sure, it's fantastic. You can park up wherever you like. And it's just brilliant.
And it's
we're
your
really
own
enjoying
place.
It. But it's actually... But now I woke up yesterday now. I was fit to cry when I saw what happened. And I don't know. I've been ringing the council and trying to find out, but I can't get anywhere.
Okay, just to describe...
What is it and how do I clean it? That's all I want to know.
On account of it being radio, Angela, I have to try and attempt to describe it. It looks to me as if somebody got gallons of coffee and threw the coffee over your van and it dripped down in rivulets.
Yes.
Little rivulets.
Yes.
Except it's not coffee, because coffee would wipe off.
Exactly.
It is, you reckon, well, did you, surely you must have noticed were you asleep in the back of the van at times?
No, my husband was having a doze to listen to the lovely CDs that we bought, and I was driving. And at one stage, I had to put on double wipers, you know, at full speed with all the water splashing up in it to clear the windscreen. And even at that, there was muck on the windscreen. But that cleared it. But it was only when we stopped for the cup of tea and we were down near Limerick and we got out and the husband looked at the side of the van. Now, he thought I was after driving up in the ditch or something. But I said, no, it happened in the roadworks because I remember having to use the full wipers.
And the roadworks were where, Angela?
They're around Sligo. Now, some people have asked me where exactly, but sure, when I'm coming from Ballyshannon and I'm playing the music and I'm singing along, I don't know exactly where the roadworks were, but there were quite a few cones along the road, you know, near Sligo.
Now, so you reckon it did happen, your van was destroyed in Sligo, and did you...
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Did you ring Sligo County Council?
I did. And they told me that it was to get on to somebody else. They told me the engineers or the people that did it. Now, why did they must be other vans ruined as well. because I've got no joy anywhere. I'm since 9 o'clock this morning waiting for people to ring me back to tell me how do I clean it, why is it, and no answer. Everybody is ring this person, ring that person, seeing no answers. But they're telling me then don't be using this and don't be using that, will ruin the paintwork because it's new enough N21, do you know what I mean?
But what is that tar made out of? I can't see anything taking it off.
Well, the baby, I do take it off, but I'm not going to go on the thing with the
baby oil. Look, you'd need gallons. You'd need gallons.
I would need gallons of it. So all I'm asking is, you know, the roadworks and whoever was, you know, responsible the roadworks.
So
they give me a name, all right, now, but like, I chased around everybody and nobody's ringing back.
Well, Angela, they rang us back, but it's not good news. They say Sligo County Council are totally unaware of any such incidents. Did you report it?
I did.
Yes, okay. Well, they say they're totally unaware.
I rang County Council at 9 o'clock this morning.
Well, that's for Sligo County Council are not aware of any
Sligo
such incident.
Sligo,
yeah.
Sligo County Council, I rang them at 9 o'clock.
Well, they're
this morning,
telling me now. They're telling me now Sligo County Council are not aware of any such incidents.
Well, I tell you now, it could be very interesting on the airwaves to see. There must be other vans destroyed beside myself and Kel. There must be.
And Sligo County Council go on. This is a rebuff now to you, Angela. They say if there is a problem, go to the guards. It would be the remit. They put it in different language to me. They say it would be the remit of An Garda Síochána Conna to comment on this matter further. Now, I think in the world that we live in and the Gardaí doing their absolute utmost all the time, but especially over the weekend, about drink driving and speeding and the smoking cannabis or everyone to drive. I think the guards have more to be doing than trying to find out who put the stains on your love boat, so to speak.
Well, exactly. I'm thinking that as well. And in all fairness, I'm sure other people will ring in and say that their friends or cars were destroyed as well, because it can't have just happened to me.
Okay, well, let's try and hear from people. Even anyone who has any ideas of it. Like, if you were to buy a load of baby oil, now it's a long time since I bought baby oil, but it is expensive for a relatively small amount.
It could come in handy for different things.
Does it? Yeah, okay. Okay. I'll take a word for it. So.
Well, I have numbers here now. I have numbers and I won't be out names. I have a number here of the county council that I got. I can give you the number. I rang it several times. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 numbers that I've got.
Well, you're not letting this go.
No, but I'm going to reach
you right. But
I can't let it go. And all I'm asking for is asking him, what is it? And I get it cleaned. What am I going to do now?
Oh, that's what you want to know. You're not going to end up at the High Court.
No.
You just want to know.
Indeed.
Can you
Come
tell
here.
Me?
No,
can you
tell? It's not the end of the world.
Well done.
And it's not
well
going
done.
To spoil
well
my
done.
Whole week.
Well done. Well done. So you're saying, just tell us what it is.
Yes.
Isn't it?
And how do I get it cleaned?
Yeah, because, well, if you know what, if they can tell you where. Tell us about the Rory Gallagher Festival. You go to many festivals and you think that's the best one.
Oh, I do. I go to loads of festivals. I'll be going to meet Tom Elby now, the next one. But hopefully my van will be in good specs. I love the festivals. We go to all the music festivals now that we're retired. Sure, it's a great life. It's a great life.
And when did you
and
get...
we had a great time.
Well, Angela, when did you buy the camper van?
We had 2 years.
2 years, okay. And why did you buy
it? It was always our intention because we love travelling and we love going to festivals.
Yeah.
And we have a tent.
You have a tent as well?
I'm getting a bit old. Getting a bit old now for the tinting and the bending down and
course,
for the rain
yeah,
and all that
yeah,
kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And we retired, so that's our retirement little thing now. You know?
And what did you retire from, Angela? What were you doing?
I'm a seamstress. I had my business here sewing in Charleville. Hmm.
And what did your husband do, the man that was dozing in the back
he's
of the
an architect. He's an architect.
He was a what?
Retired.
Prison officer.
An architect.
Oh, an architect.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, by the way, but when you hear people saying, Angela, there's no facilities in Ireland for camper vans, like the Continent.
Well, they say that, but to be quite honest, we have ours is just under 7 metres, so we can go into a car. I use it as a car. I drive it as my car. It's just for a two, you
okay.
know, bed. Now, if you had a 4-bed or a 6-bed, there would be. There is not as much here in Ireland as there anywhere else, you know, to be quite.
And have you taken it?
I love it, and I can park it anywhere. That's why we have that size.
And have you taken it to France?
No, I haven't taken it anywhere yet. Maybe next year.
On the continent?
Well, I'd like to go for the Christmas now and for the bad weather. I was saying that to my husband. I said we might go away now for the Christmas and for a couple of weeks, maybe over to Spain or somewhere like that.
For the good weather?
Because it's dark at 5:30 in
here,
the evening,
yeah.
And long nights. And I thought, sure, we could be in our camper van in Spain.
That's
or
true, yeah.
Or anywhere else
yeah,
like
yeah. And what do you love most about it in the evening time? Would you sit out and read or watch telly or?
We like to do a bit of cooking and we have our Wi-Fi and we have our telly and everything.
Oh, you have everything. Oh, you have everything.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
And I have my podcast and I be listening to Joe Duffy in my podcast.
Yeah, I'm surprised you ever go back into the house, Angela. I'm surprised. Now, by the way, would your insurance cover getting... Oh, by the way, 0818 715 815, Joe at rt.ie, if you know what this might be. That's the stride. Angela's camper van, her love boat. If would your insurance cover getting it cleaned? Because it sounds like a big job.
I didn't even think about it because if I go to the insurance, I don't know what it is for one thing,
yeah.
And I don't know. All I want to know is what is it? I think they count because and the roadworks, how they didn't divert people. It'll be interesting. I bet you there'll be a whole lot more than me. They'll go out this month. They'll think now after coming to the festival they can go with their power hose and wash with their vans down. It's not going to happen.
Okay. And would you recommend a camper van for mature couples, Angela?
Oh, come here, there's nothing better. It's fantastic. The camper van, it's fantastic because you can be just sitting inside and you can have your cup of tea and you can stop anywhere and raining or not, it makes no difference. Do you know, it's a fantastic life.
Great,
fantastic
well done.
Life. I love it.
And what other festivals would you go to?
We go to all the tread festivals. I love the tread music into the clowns. I go to all of them. And then, as well as that, I'm going to a wedding now. My niece is getting married. And I'll go on my mobile camper and I'll be able to sleep in that and save myself all that money now.
Okay.
From 10 hotels as well.
Okay, we'll try and find out what it is, Angela, and we'll try and sort out the problem for you.
Yeah, all right.
You don't give up now in Sligo County Council. Keep ringing.
Well, I think there's no point because they're not listening to me, and I've been on since 9 o'clock this morning, and they've put me on to the people that have the contract for it. They gave me the name and the number for them.
Oh, did
they're
you?
Not,
okay.
They're not ringing me back.
Okay. And I don't want to name the company, but does the name of the company give you a clue as to what the material was? Like, is it Mickey Murphy's Asphalt Company or Joe Duffy's sticky tar?
The lady there said, oh, she said, I'll put you on now. She said to somebody, she said there and there, and they'll get back to you on it. And no, there was nothing.
Okay. Nobody I just hope you're not going up a cul-de-sac, Angela, that's all. Cause
I'll be over the baby island, the little pet, won't I, for the next 3 weeks?
Yeah, you will be.
The sun's shining,
I think. Yeah. Oh, you'll get back on the road as quickly as possible. It is roadworthy, except would you be embarrassed driving it?
Well, it looks like as if it would do a good wash.
Yeah. And
that,
there's nothing worse when you meet someone and you say to yourself, my God, he or she could do a good old scrub.
Yeah, because the other side of it is lovely and shiny.
Yeah.
The left-hand side is lovely and shiny, but the other side in is just destroyed and all the best.
Okay, Angela, thanks indeed. Mind yourself, we'll keep in touch.
Thank you, Joe, very much.
Thank you, Angela. And Angela was driving from Ballyshannon to Charleville. That's some drive. Well done on her in her camper van. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Mary, you're back now, I hope. Tell us what happened on Sunday.
So I guess the purpose of me contacting you is because I wanted to highlight the difficulties that it causes the public for when the marathons are scheduled and routed around hospitals.
Okay.
And it means that people trying to access the hospital are hugely impacted. You know, perhaps ambulances were able to get through, but the general public are not able to get through.
Okay.
And it had an impact in my own situation, which, you know, I wasn't able to be there for my father's passing.
So you, it began on Sunday morning. You got a phone call. Your father was in hospital. You got a phone call from St. Vincent's.
We got a text message at just after 2 o'clock, at 4 minutes after two. My sister, thankfully, was there. She got in there by bicycle before the marathon even. And so she texted to say that things had suddenly deteriorated. Wow. We hadn't expected it to be so soon, that things had suddenly deteriorated and to come in quick. And I had been doing that trip for 3 weeks. And I know door to door, it was taking me 12 minutes.
Okay.
And so even in advance of this happening, we had been checking the route to get to the hospital, thinking that we would wait until after the marathon.
Yeah.
So I knew that the route I would need to go would be to go. We live in Dundrum, and the route we would need to go is to hit the Rock Road in around Black Rock or Booterstown and hit the hospital from the south side.
Yeah.
So as soon as I got the text, myself and my son, who's my chauffeur at the moment because I have a fractured leg and I can't drive. So we immediately jumped into the car. Well, I didn't quite jump, but we got into the car immediately, probably within 1 minute of the text. And we were making our way over to, we took the back ways to get there as fast as we could. And we got over to Booterstown Avenue.
Yeah.
We got halfway down Booterstown Avenue and it was gridlock. And there was still probably another 500 meters to go to get to. And there was no way, there was parking on both sides. There was no way to try and even try and get down on a side anyway. So we decided, okay, we'll backtrack and go back to the Foster Avenue, Stillorgan Road junction, which is where the runners were coming down the Stillorgan Road and U-turning at that point. So we knew there'd be a garda there. And then they were going down Nutley Lane. So we backtracked and we went to the junction. I got my son to pull in. I got out of the car. I literally hopped. She could see me hopping because my leg is in a cast. I hopped and she walked over to me, the Vanguarda. And she said, are you looking for the hospital? And I said, yes, we need to get there as fast as possible. My father's passing. And she said, I can't let you go through. Go back to Booterstown Avenue. You'll get there that way. And I said, we have just been that way. It's absolute gridlock.
Yeah.
And then she didn't come up with any ideas. And I said, what if we can we get through UCD and go over the flyover? And she checked with her colleague. And her colleague said, yes, the flyover is open. So I hopped back into the car. And we went through UCD. Thankfully, the barriers were not up. We were able to get through UCD to the flyover section, but it was blocked off. It was not blocked off by Gardaí, but it seemed to be maybe UCD personnel. I'm not too sure. They weren't in official uniform, so I don't know who they were. So,
and Mary, just to explain to people as well, that you broke your leg on a visit to your father when he was in hospital. Is that correct?
So that is, so he was brought in by ambulance and on a Thursday night about 3 weeks ago, and a half weeks ago. And we had stayed with him until 11:30. He was being really well taken care of in A&E, but they didn't have a ward to put him on. But he was in a cubicle on his own and he was settled. There was nothing we could do for him. So myself and my sister, we went home to sleep. And I was going in the next morning to take over and be with him for the day. I wasn't working that day. And I parked my car up around the Montrose area because hospital parking is so expensive the whole day. Yeah. So I parked my car up there and I was making my way. This was first thing Friday morning, making my way to get down to the hospital to spend the day with him. The pathway was all broken up.
Yeah.
And
are you coming down?
I fell on
which way are you coming down? Nutley Lane, is it?
I was going from, I was just beyond, kind of at the UCD flyover, going toward RTE. So on that slip road.
And you tripped.
And there was a pathway. I tripped, fell on all floors.
Oh.
Two very nice gents helped me get up. I was only able to stand on one foot. And then a very nice lady in a car said, I witnessed it. Can I bring you somewhere? And I said, well, I'm actually on my way to A&E if you can bring me there. So she brought me there. So then they triaged me and then I was able to be a patient alongside my dad. They had us both in the same cubicle, and they x-rayed me. But anyway, this is more about is about him. But
so now we're back to Sunday. You're at you're now trying to get over the UCD flyover, and that's blocked. How long is it since you've left your home in Dundrum after you got text to say your father was passing?
Oh, I don't know exactly what time it was. He passed 50 minutes after we got the text, and it normally took us 12 minutes door to door to get there. Okay. So my son, he whipped the wheel. So he parked in UCD. He whipped the wheelchair out. I got into it, and he pushed me for dear life. How this young lad, he's just doing Leaving Cert starting tomorrow, how this young lad got the energy. He was huffing and puffing, but pushing me to try and get there as fast as possible so that we wouldn't miss Granddad, my dad. And so as we joined the Stillorgan Road from the flyover, we were amongst, going down Nutley Lane, we were amongst people who were marathon participants, and we were getting cheered on, way to go, way to go. They were thinking that we were part of it, and my son,
so your
couldn't
son,
understand why it was.
Your son is now, you're frantic, the two of you. Your son puts you into the wheelchair to try and get you to the hospital because a car couldn't
runs
get through.
Runs for dear life with me in the wheelchair.
He's pushing you, and people start applauding. They think you're competitors in the mini marathon.
Yeah, yeah. Two people said, way to go, good on you. Yeah. And my son, he knew there was a marathon, but he said, Mum, why am I the only man here or boy here? And I said, it's a ladies' marathon. So anyway, so they were cheering us on. Anyway, he made our way, and he was pushing for dear life. And we got into the hospital grounds. He pushed me up to the top of the ramp at the door into Vincent's, and a text said, he's just passed. So, and it took us only 2 minutes to get up the elevator to his ward. But, if it hadn't been for planning a marathon directly in front of a hospital that blocks people getting to a hospital, I would have been able to be there with my father at his passing, and so would my son. We had been with my mother when she passed 3 years ago, and it's an honor and a privilege to be with someone when they're passing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel really upset that I couldn't have been with my father. Thankfully, my sister was there, so that was helpful.
Now, but do you think, you see, the Gardaí, you said, in respect of, and this event has been going on for over 40 years, in respect of every major event, on Garda Síochána Conaill, has a policing plan in place which will identify access to critical infrastructure, including hospitals. So where was, they said, the Gardaí say we had a plan in place. Where was it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the plan was. So she saw me hopping on one leg. I said, can I show you my text that I can show you my dad at his end stage? And she said, no, don't worry, I believe you. But she would not let me through.
But did she not say, go down Booterstown Avenue?
I told her it was blocked.
But yeah. I just wonder, is it that Booterstown Avenue was the access road, but there was no policing on it to make sure it was clear? But it wasn't clear because there was cars.
It wasn't clear.
Not clear why, Mary. Cars parked on both sides.
It's the cars were parked on both sides. Yeah. If you know the road, it's
very
not
narrow.
A wide road anyway. So cars were just backed up completely. And the only way we were actually able to do that U-turn is that we were at that cross avenue junction where it's just a little bit wider, and we were able to make that split decision to U-turn, because if we didn't U-turn there, we would be stuck in the traffic and not able to turn left or right or get out of it. So that's when I said, let's U-turn right here and get back to Foster Avenue and talk to the Gardaí. So my point is, if there is a Garda plan to let people,
let us know
through,
what it is.
It didn't happen.
Well, just to be clear, Mary. The cars that were double parked on Booterstown Avenue, were they illegally parked?
Don't think so. I think parking is allowed on Booterstown.
Yeah, but if that's the emergency access to a hospital, one of the biggest hospitals in the country, one of the biggest A&E departments in the country, surely the Gardaí should have put down cones to make sure people didn't park on that particular day. So it would have, like, was it wide enough to get a fire engine down?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's
nothing could
thought.
Go down. Only a cyclist. Only a cyclist could have gone down through the traffic. So I have.
Was there any Gardaí on that stretch?
I saw none at all. None. So, yeah. So thankfully we were able to get through to UCD, and often UCD is blocked off, and I don't like going through UCD because it's not meant as a through road.
Yeah.
But
okay.
On this occasion, I thought I actually don't care. If I can get through to the hospital this way, I will do it, or as close as possible. I knew we weren't going to be able to get down in Italy, but.
And if it's not too intrusive, Mary, how was your dad after he was admitted? How has he been over the last, unfortunately he passed. Was he a good age?
He was a fantastic age. So
brilliant.
He died just 12 hours before he would have turned 99.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So he lived a good life and lots of adventures and a very happy life.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take away from the fact that I think family should be permitted
Absolutely.
To be with their loved
Absolutely.
Ones. Absolutely. And I think if the marathon organizers can just keep hospitals clear, I don't know why it has a road has to be blocked off directly next to the hospital. So I'm sure they allowed ambulances through, but there are many other people who need to access the hospital.
But as you
with
say,
other ailments.
As you say, Mary, if an ambulance had come from your part of the city, Dundrum, and was heading for St. Vincent's, which is the casualty hospital. They couldn't go down Nutley Avenue or Nutley Lane, as it's called, because that's where the race was. The other thing is, well, it's a race against time that everyone wants their time. So you can't stop the race without a kerfuffle, I'd say. So if Booterstown Avenue was the designated emergency route, but you say a fire engine, and an ambulance is not as wide as you couldn't get down in your car. So an ambulance couldn't get down.
Nothing could get down.
So where was the Garda plan?
Yeah.
Because the Garda said to you, the route is Booterstown Avenue. And but Booterstown Avenue was blocked. Now, that's outrageous.
Yeah, now, probably a little bit more than halfway up. It's a long enough road, maybe a kilometre. Yeah. So probably from halfway, it was completely blocked.
Yeah.
And no car could even come up it, let alone us getting down it. And there was only room for one car in the direction because the road is quite narrow.
And Mary, when is the when is the last time you saw your dad alive?
So probably 8:30 the evening before.
Okay, you were in
8:30 in the evening.
We
were in every day. And we said we'd see you tomorrow.
Was he Compass Mendes at that stage? Was he?
He was. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Poor man.
But he was ready to go. He'd said his goodbyes. He wanted to go. It wasn't as easy a passing for him as any of us would have wished, or as quick for him as he.
Somebody is obviously, we won't give your father's name without your permission, but somebody is obviously knows he was in, and he said, if that's the age, I think was the giveaway, he said that man was one of the nicest men she ever came across in his profession.
Lovely. Okay. Lovely, highly thought of and much loved by family and friends and neighbours and everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you tell the hospital of the... Because surely the hospital goes to these meetings, the planning meetings for big events like this.
No, I don't know. No, I didn't think of telling the hospital, but I can certainly
do it.
Well, it's the Gardaí
that have the answers here.
Yeah, so I emailed...
Or the Gardaí need to
Dunleary,
put the, Yeah.
Dunleary traffic people,
Black
and
Rock.
I emailed the and VHI mini marathon organizers, and I received no response from either. And I also emailed the Garda press office, but I don't know who in the Garda to talk to, so I'm hoping that they would route it to the correct person.
The Garda do say,
but
the Garda are saying the statement they've given us, there was a policing plan with access to critical infrastructure. Well, there wasn't.
No,
there wasn't, unless they were going to put you in a helicopter. And Garda Síochána obviously expresses our condolences and sincere sympathies to you and your family.
Thank you. I wish the route could be somewhere where it doesn't impact so much on people trying to access a hospital.
But that the emergency route is clear, is kept clear.
Yeah.
The emergency route, there's a bit of a clue in the name. It's for ambulances, yeah, fire engines, and obviously people in distress like yourselves who've been sent for by the hospital. You were sent for. You weren't just saying anyone.
No, and I even said to the Gardaí, I said, I'm happy to show you the text if you need to see it. And she said, no, I believe
you. She believed you, of course, yeah. But she also believed that Booterstown Avenue was clear.
Yeah.
You told her.
Which is a narrow road. I can't believe that's the emergency access route, because Mount Marion Avenue is a much wider road, and that probably would have been a better route.
Yeah.
Maybe, but also probably was blocked up. But anyway, so that was my point in contacting you, Joe. Okay. I really want the organisers to think better about planning and the impact for people. You know, a hospital is so vital to the community to be able to access. And I really think it should be rerouted so that people can have ready access to the hospital, or the Garda emergency plan, if it could work instead of what happened to our situation.
Okay. Well, Mary, condolences above all. He was a very a much loved man, obviously.
Yeah,
and from the moment he went in on that Thursday, I'm sure you were with him long before that as well in his daily life. But the family were beside him, and it's a terrible pity that you weren't there for the final moments.
Yeah, for the end. Anyway, can I just say thanks to Vincent's Hospital? They gave an amazing care to my father. He was, I can't remember the ward name back now, but he was amazing care.
Okay, yeah. And thanks to your son.
Joe, he has become a hero over the last three weeks since he's gone from a hormonal teenager to he's a young man who's been selfless and caring. He's had to pick up on domestic duties that I can't do currently because of my leg. And he's also juggling leaving cert. And, you know, he's extremely close to my father. So he's really stepped up in every way. And I'm extremely proud.
And he should be.
Extremely proud.
As he is, I'm sure, of you and indeed his granddad. Mary, thanks indeed, and condolences
again.
Thank you,
Joe, for listening. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie and 51551 text. Caroline Bourne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. Well, you're very bright. For somebody,
thank you very much.
And I admire you for it. But for somebody who, because of your situation at the minute, as you tell me, you go to bed with your clothes on.
Yes, I do, because I have arthritis in my hands.
Yeah.
And I have a PA who only comes in the morning.
Okay.
I was refused twice for a PA to come in the evening and at weekends because they told me that I don't fit the criteria. I'm 66, so I think I need a little bit of help now.
And
you know,
just take me through again. Carolyn, how do you end up in bed in your day clothes?
Because sometimes I can't take them off. You know, my hands get so sore that I can't even lift them over my head sometimes. And I have trouble getting on my shoes as well. I have severe trouble getting on my shoes. I have to kind of struggle with them. And when my PA is gone, there's nobody. I live in a sheltered accommodation.
Okay.
But the daycare centre is very separate from the sheltered accommodation. It's, you know, there's 23 houses over here, Joe. It's quite a nice place, but it's a Mac of Beyonds, if you know what I mean. It's not Dublin City. No, it's just your typical rural kind of place.
And Caroline, So when do you change your clothes then? When it's in the morning?
Usually I change them when the girls come in. They help me shower. Kind of stuff. Now, I'm able to manage this week because I'm going through a rather good phase. But I mean, there was a couple of weeks ago where I couldn't do anything because I got bitten by ants as well. I was sitting out back and I got bitten by red ants and my legs all swelled up. I know. I've been through the war, Joe. I got COVID twice after getting injections.
Yeah.
Oh, as I was saying to your researcher, Richie, I went from Miss Piggy to Twiggy overnight, which wasn't very good.
And so how does your arthritis affect you? Can you lift things?
It's sore, and my joints swell up sometimes.
And what can you do?
You know, they get very kind of, and my wrists in particular now today are not good. My joints. I'm going into the doctor now to get, I have an appointment to get an x-ray.
Okay.
And that'll come across in 2 weeks' time. I have to go into Wexford General to confirm that I have it, so the doctor can write to the HSC, putting my case across and making putting a good case for me, hopefully. Because I could not believe that I was rejected once. I said, yeah, well, rejected once. Because she did the assessment over in the centre.
Mm-hmm.
And then I appealed it, and she came to the house. And she didn't ask me to do anything. She never asked me to lift the kettle or, you know, anything that you would. She asked me that questions like, who was the Taoiseach and what day was it? And, you know, the usual kind of, that kind of stuff. But she never actually asked me the practical. How do I manage the few things? Because I say I have an oven, but I don't cook. Well,
Caroline, can you lift a kettle?
No, because I'm getting a thing to lift. I lift it with difficulty. I'm afraid I'm going to scald myself. I'm getting a, you know, those things that swivel the kettle up? But when I'm putting something in the oven, I have an oven, the door that falls down. I'm so scared I'm going to scald myself or something. You know, it's things spitting out at you when you haven't got full control, Joe. You know, as you know yourself, anything can happen. You know, it's just, I'm not looking for extra attention.
I know you aren't. And did you use that, not use the phrase, did you describe the situation, Caroline?
I told them, and I'm fed up to the back teeth of, you know, trying to say, and they'd say, oh, yes, oh, we'll see about that. And then the next thing I get a letter, I'm saying, oh, you don't fit the criteria. And I'm going, well, what is the criteria? Apparently, you have to have MS, you have to have dementia, and you have to have something else. And I said to the one, I said, you have to be half dead. And she said, no, enough. I said, that's not good enough. I said, not good enough at all. I said, you know, as I said, the government can put up as you call it, the spike in the dike. They can put up all kinds of rubbish like that. But really, it's about time that they looked after their own now, you know, especially in election year.
And Caroline, I'm especially stuck on this. If you said to somebody, I have to go to bed, I have to sleep in my clothes.
Yeah.
Does that not tell them so much?
Well, I don't. My guess is good as yours, Joe. I've tried to explain this to them, and it just seems to go over their head. Oh, you're able to manage. I'm going, well, no, I'm not able to manage. I wouldn't be asking you if I was able to manage. You know, it's like they just see me and they don't take any notice of what I'm saying. Because there was one night I had to call my sister to take off my shoes. I couldn't take them off. And my sister lives 10 minutes away. Because my PA wouldn't have been back the next morning. I just couldn't get them off. My hands were not strong enough to actually, and I can't get on tights, so forget about tights. I mean, that's a day and a half job. Although the occupational therapist gave me a thing to pull up my tights.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure about that, you know.
I definitely don't want to lose sight of all the other ways you're affected by this. I know you're born with cerebral palsy and then the arthritis.
Yes. Which I don't let get me down because, you know, I'm very kind of into things and involved in things. I write poetry and I write articles and I'm kind of very creative kind of a person. And I'm not a person to kind of, if I see an injustice, Joe, I have to speak out about it.
Well done,
and I feel I'm kind of being very hard done by at the moment.
And when did you develop the arthritis?
I developed it about a year ago. I noticed my hands getting, you know, a bit weak and not as strong as what they were. You know, being able to lift things and pull things, and, you know, because they were quite strong, you know, to open doors sometimes, a heavy door, I have to get somebody to push it open. You know, those swing doors on supermarkets and all that kind of stuff. I know there's ones with them, the swish backward and forward, but, you know, the doors and pubs and things like that I find very hard. You know, the big heavy doors and heavy things I find very, very hard to lift. You know, it's just, just a day. It's just awkward. That's what I can say. It's about a year since I noticed a tingling in my hands, okay. And then it's gone to pain.
Right.
It can go. Sometimes it can be very bad. No, and more times then it kind of eases off. Now today it's a bit in my wrist, and my wrist kind of swells up sometimes. But sorry, I have a cold as well.
And Carolyn, how do you get out of the house?
Oh, I do get out of the house. You know, I have a taxi driver, which I go out with my fiancé. You know, we go out, and he helps me.
Okay.
And there's a local link bus that goes into town. And they're very helpful. You know, they help me up and down. Very helpful.
Well
so
done.
They are.
Brilliant.
They are extremely brilliant. But, you know, I don't go on days I'm bad. I go on days when I'm good. I like going shopping. And, like, you know, I go with my friend to the supermarket and she pushes the trolley and I just mooch around with my rollator, which is very handy. I wear splints, you see, Joe, and I have a rollator, which is very handy.
Okay, rollator is what? Like a Zimmer frame with
wheels. You can sit on it if you get tired.
Yeah, but Carla, my point is nothing is easy for you.
No,
I know
it's not.
I know you're trying not to make it, and you sound so whoopee, but nothing is easy for you.
No, it's not, Joe. That's the story of my life. Anything that I've ever had to do, I've had to fight all my life. But, and my mum before that, my mum passed away 11 years ago.
Yeah.
And I lost my dad. My dad was very young when he died. Sorry, I'm getting a bit emotional now.
And when you say your mother had to fight for you.
Yeah, she fought for me. And then when I grew up to an age, then I fought for me.
Yeah.
So I must get a drink of water.
Yeah, take your time.
No.
Get it. Caroline, get it. How far is the tap from you? Go and get a drink of water and I'll take a break. I'll come back to you. Get your drink of water and hopefully you will be...
Well, I must tell you a bit, you know, about my... When I was born in 1957, the doctors told my mum that I would be a vegetable. And she wasn't accepting that.
Of course.
She took me to the Royal Gwent in London, where in Wales, where I got intensive physio.
Okay.
And they told me that, no, that was the wrong diagnosis. I told the doctor when I seen him 16 years later. I said, look at the vegetable now. What do you think of the vegetable? And he went as red as my dress.
Brilliant.
But I tend to be like that, Joe. I tend to shoot from hip.
And Caroline, when you were younger, did you have, okay, you're saying I have your rollator. How did you get around when you were younger?
I had no problem.
Okay. You could walk.
I dislocated my knee, you see, 3 times when I was 16. And that I got some calipers then after that.
Calipers,
and I used to go horse riding and I was so active. But then I kept having falls, I'd say about 6 years ago. I was in Cork University Hospital and I couldn't find anything wrong, neurological wrong with me. This young doctor, she came down and she was going, you're a puzzlement, Caroline Bourne. I said, I was born a puzzlement. She said, I don't know what's wrong with you. You've been diagnosed with CP. I said, I know what I have. I said, alcoholism. And she went away laughing. I haven't. But anyway, but she said, don't talk to me. I have to find out, she said, what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
She never found out what was causing the falls. But that's how I got the rollator.
And is the arthritis regarded as a follow on from?
It could possibly be that now. It possibly could, because I'd say it didn't do me any good, the falls that I had. Not really, because, you know, falling down doesn't do you great
need
of any good. You know,
but you're still a young woman. You're still a young woman. Caroline.
Well, I'm young at heart.
Well, obviously, I know. Well, it's and the other issues that have visited you haven't.
Well, you see, I find, Joe, disabled people are not treated... Well, they have the charter of the disabled people, but the government seems to forgot about us. You know, we want to get more vocal in this country. We want... The disabled want to have a voice. They should be up on the door protesting, and now's the time for them to protest when they're all interested looking for our votes, because when they go back to their own...
Yeah, but the problem... But the problem is, Caroline... That people who I know, I agree, should be up protesting. But how do you physically get, and other people who are, I know that they can get around, but it takes an awful lot of effort. Tell us exactly what you're looking for, Caroline, just to go back over it again.
I just want extra hours. I just want my PA in the evening, and I want them to come at the weekend.
Okay. How many extra hours are you looking for?
I'm looking for, what did I say, about 7 hours. I'm getting 5 at the moment. That would be about 12 hours. What would it be?
Yeah.
5 days a week, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. I'm looking for 14 hours. You know, that's not much to look for now, really, to help me out. An hour in the morning and an hour in the evening, you know, and especially at the weekends, you know, because the weekends are very, very lonely over here.
Can you sleep in your clothes, Caroline?
Well, not very well, no. It's very comfortable now. Extremely. Yeah. And if I have a dress with the zip in as well, forget about that, because I've had to change my dresses to dresses that I can actually pull off and pull on, because I said, you know, I can't be going around sleeping in my clothes all the time. So I bought dresses with, you know, that you can get over your head very easily, because anything with zips in it,
as I say,
like
nothing.
Trousers with buttons is almost impossible to fasten. You know, with buttons in the front or the side, zips. Yeah. I find zips very hard. Zips, tights, and that kind of, you know, fitted.
And shoes, betimes, shoes.
And shoes, yeah.
I can't, I hope you never had to sleep in your shoes in bed, did you? I know your sister.
No, I take them off. I don't sleep in my shoes, no. Definitely not. No, they come off.
No, who would? No, absolutely, but I'm just saying, you don't, you're sleeping in your clothes. The only people,
the only people who
sleep in their clothes are fellas who come home with a few jars on them and they lie down.
I know.
And well, before
I've
you know
been,
it,
I've been there and I've done that a couple of times, but we won't go down that road. usually at Christmas when that happens.
Fair play. Did you mention? Did I hear you correctly about your fiance?
Oh yes, he's here with me now.
Oh great! Congratulations.
He's half American, half French.
Great. Which half of him is American?
His mum's side of the family.
Okay.
He's bald, but he's...
And he's very lucky. He's very lucky.
He's lucky. He's lucky and I'm lucky.
Of course,
so
two of you are lucky.
Yeah, we're very lucky.
When did you get engaged, Caroline?
Oh, we got engaged. When did we get engaged, James? About 2 years ago, I think. 2 years ago, I think. Yeah.
And how did you meet?
Actually, we met, it's a long story.
Yeah.
He worked for AIR. You know, he was one of them.
Yeah.
Do you want to have a quick word with him?
If he wants to, yeah, I'd love to say hello to him.
James?
Does he know? James, how are you?
Fine, you're keeping great.
Yeah. You've a great partner there beside you. She's a fantastic tonic.
She's very nice. She's very nice. We met 6 years ago when I was working for AIR in Churchfield, doing tech support for their broadband, and basically she called me in, I fixed her internet connection, and a few months later she found me on Connecting Singles, and that's how we recognized each other when she called me on Skype.
Brilliant.
That was pretty impressive, and we've been together 5 years and a half. I live down in Cork. I've been living in the country for 18 years now.
Wow.
18 years and a half. It's quite some time. Moved over from France to get work in IT, and here we go. No, she needs serious help with her hands and her condition. She needs more hours, basically. That's what she was telling me. I can help her out as much as I can remotely on the IT side, but she needs professional help. And her sister doesn't live too far away, but basically she needs those hours.
Yeah.
I saw that you were friends with the country singers because I saw you on Facebook and you were friends with the country singers.
Yeah, there's a few country singers, you know. Yeah, from time to time. How did you come to Ireland, James?
Well, I came over to get a job. You see, I was looking for work in France, and this is back in 2005. And my sister basically said, my father wanted to get me a job in the French administration, which is very much locked down in terms of opportunities.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the same people who are disabled, like myself, because I'm visually impaired. Now, basically, a lot of these people in France who have that kind of profile, they put them into the finance administration and the revenue. And that's just was who I was. So I figured that I always wanted to get into the IT field. So I said, well, Christina, my sister, said, well, you should approach people in Dublin who are a recruitment company. And that's how I got over. Originally, I came over for an interview with DAPO in October 2005, but didn't get that one. So I passed an interview with Sykes a few months later, and I worked for Sony and Shannon for a few and a half years, moved to Waterford with Sun Life, then moved down to Cork, and in 2010, worked for Siemens, which became Atos, and I'm still living down there. Yeah. I just finished a contract with Aptran, working for the HSE.
Okay.
So that's pretty much my background. I'm really not going to country shows.
And James, have yourself and Caroline set a date?
Oh, for marriage?
Yes.
We consider ourselves married, but you see, my father is a bit the old school, and he doesn't stick too much to the age gap, because we've got the same age gap as the French president and his wife.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, that's of course, we accept the age gap perfectly well, but some people are a bit more closed down. My mother and sister are perfectly fine with the deal.
Yeah, okay.
I just don't want to create a row in the family, so that's being looked after.
I take your point, but the French civil service is very closed, isn't it? It's they have their own special third level feature.
But I
take your point as well about being visually impaired and getting into the system here. But I was listening to In Touch, which is the brilliant programme on BBC Radio 4 for the visually impaired. And there was an interview last week with Victoria Harrison, James, and she's a civil servant and member in the Foreign Office in the UK. And she's just been appointed ambassador, UK ambassador to the Republic of Slovenia. And she is visually impaired and she has a guide dog. So,
I'm not saying that the opportunities are closed down for everybody. What I'm explaining is that if you want to go into the IT field and do something, I probably wouldn't have been so closed down now to the idea, but when my father tells you, he tells me, well, you have to go into the income tax because you're a friend, it's a good outcome for people with disabilities. No, that's not what I do. Like, I made a life of my own over here through different various.
Okay, someone pressed the button there. Are you gone? We'll have to take a break anyway. We're talking to James and Caroline. Caroline Bourne contacted us because, but you heard her situation. She cannot. She needs a couple of extra hours over the week for someone to help her take her clothes off to go to bed because she's crippled with arthritis. And just do it. Look at your own hands there now and turn them into the shape that you know and I know. Unfortunately, that people with arthritis can go and try and undress. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie. Last week when our conversations about D-Day, it's the 80th anniversary this coming Thursday, the name Kay Summersby came up and we were told her story and a remarkable wartime service. And she ended up not just driving ambulances, she's from Cork, not just driving ambulances during the Blitz and the darkness and the danger of the Blitz, but also she eventually became a chauffeur, driver and indeed PA to Dwight D. Eisenhower, the D-Day commander. And we asked, were there any relations? And Keith McCarthy Morrow contact us. And Keith, Kay Summersby was your aunt, is that correct?
She was, yep.
Yeah.
Well, she wasn't, but she was. We called her aunt.
Okay.
She was actually technically my first cousin once removed.
Okay, well, tell us what you know about her, please. A remarkable woman.
Well, she was a remarkable woman. She went to London because her parents were divorced. She went to London when she was 16.
Wow.
And then when the war broke out, she was about 30, mm-hmm. and she volunteered and was driving an ambulance during the Blitz. And then when Eisenhower came over as a young general, he was then a one-star general, and she was assigned to him to drive her as his driver. And he went back to America. And then he came back, of course, as Supreme Allied Commander in the war. And he asked for her. By now he was a five-star general, very, very important guy. And she drove him for the rest of the war, including then becoming his secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly they got very close. There are various stories, which you've probably heard about. She wrote two books about him. But she had a remarkable war. First of all, she was his driver, and then when during the war, she went to North Africa with him, because the War of the Desert was over in 1943,
mm-hmm.
and the American president, Roosevelt, wanted to come over and meet the other heads of state of the Allies.
Yeah, yeah.
He wanted to meet up with Churchill mm-hmm. and Stalin. And the meeting was to be in Tehran, in what's now Iran. So Roosevelt came over on a warship to North Africa. Kay went out on a ship to North Africa.
Yeah.
She was torpedoed on the way. She was rescued. And then she met Roosevelt in North Africa. In fact, there's mm-hmm. a record of their having dinner with him. And then she went on to Tehran with him and Eisenhower to meet all the Allied leaders. And then at the end of the war, even more interesting still, she was actually there on the day that the Germans surrendered.
Incredible.
7th of May, 1945.
Yeah.
In Reims, in France, it's the capital of Champagne region in France. Yeah. And if you go there, there's a little museum in the old school, and there she is with Eisenhower and the British general, and who are co-signers for the Allies, and Jodl, the German general who was later hanged after Nuremberg trials, and the American admiral, I can't remember his name, something like Fleeberg or something. That's not quite right, but something like that.
Okay.
She was there with them for the signing of the surrender.
And do you have a copy of that photograph, Keith?
I do actually have a copy of it, but it's easy to get, because if you look up the internet, you put in Kay Summersby, you get all the photographs of her, including that. Now, the photograph of her with Eisenhower in Reims is interesting, because it's there. I've seen it there. I've also seen the film that they have there of her.
Okay.
But when it was published in America, Kay has been rubbed out, or whatever the word
is. What you say these days, photoshopped out.
Exactly, yeah.
She was photoshopped out in the States.
She was, because they didn't really... I think the powers that be didn't really want the Americans to know, when Eisenhower was running for president. They didn't want to know that she and he had had some sort of a liaison.
Mm-hmm. Well, the phrase used on Friday was a CWTR, a close wartime rapport.
I'm sure that's a very good phrase.
Now, I got some criticism on Friday when I asked these questions about the close wartime rapport. But you think there was a close wartime rapport between Eisenhower and Kay?
I'm amused by there's a report by one of the American generals who said he'd only ever seen a driver of a general once kiss the general good morning.
And that was...
I think that probably tells him.
And that was...
That was her and Ike.
Okay. And then she went... did she not go to the United States?
She did. She ended up after the war. She got American citizenship.
Yeah.
And there were various stories that Eisenhower wanted to divorce his wife and marry Kay, mm-hmm. but he was apparently told that if he did that, he could never be run for president.
Mm-hmm.
A different world than the one we live in today.
But she was a remarkable woman and a remarkable soldier, and gave remarkable service to the Allies, to all of us, in fact, in the Second World War.
She was, and she got various nice decorations and things and recognition for that too. And in fact, I got her made. She became a captain in the U.S. Army immediately after the war.
Where did she live out her days?
She lived out her days in New York.
Okay, and did she ever marry, Keith?
She did marry. She had a marriage to a stockbroker called Morgan, but Reginald Morgan was his name. But it didn't last.
Okay.
And I mean, I met her several times. She, the old family house is down at Inishmeg Island, just beyond Skipperine in West Cork. And she used to come back. Her brother was still living there, and we'd meet her from time to time. It was always a great sort of outing, you know, to see the American cousin.
Yeah, of course. And there are a number of books written about. Well, she'd written a book herself, has she not? A memoir.
She wrote two books.
Okay.
Eisenhower was My Boss was her first book.
Okay.
And I think the second one was called something about remembering my love life with Ike.
Okay.
So she, and in fact, Eisenhower's My Boss was a bestseller in America in the early 50s.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking, somebody sent me in a photograph now. I doubt if I can distribute it because it's Getty Images. But it's Ike obviously in Ream with a number of five other generals, none of his rank, of course. And he's holding two pens, obviously.
Yes.
And then there's a woman standing directly behind
him.
That's Kay.
That's Kay.
Oh, wow.
And that's the one that she's been taken out of in the American press.
Isn't that incredible?
The two pens, by the way, are the pen that that Eisenhower used and the pen that Jodl used to sign the instrument of surrender.
She's much younger than Eisenhower, isn't she?
She was born in 1908, so yeah. I think Eisenhower was probably 10 or 12 years older than her.
Okay. It's a fantastic photograph.
It is a great photograph, isn't it? There are a couple of other good photographs there, too, with Ike. They're all Getty Images, so, you know,
I wonder what Getty even tweeted for to save us getting into trouble with them.
You can certainly look at them on the internet.
Yeah. Well, I just, during the break when I knew you were coming, I looked up the surrender at Ream, and then I was looking specifically for a photograph of Ike with a young woman in it, and there she is, and she looks good. She looks very, very competent, and she's obviously right up there at the heart of the heart of the surrender, which is fantastic.
They made a film about her with Lee Remick as playing her. And somebody said to me once, the only trouble about Lee Remick is she wasn't half as good looking as Kay.
Ah, okay. And is there any memorial tour in the home place, Keith?
She's buried in the church at Ra, which is just very close to Inishbeg House.
Oh, she's buried in Cork. Okay.
Her ashes are in Cork.
Her ashes, okay.
She is there.
What a remarkable soldier. What a remarkable soldier.
It's quite a story, really, isn't it?
Yeah. And your family know of the story. I hope they do.
Oh, yeah. The family know the story well, you know. And she's... We're very proud of her.
And rightly so. And rightly so. And rightly so. Okay, Keith McCarthy Morrow, we've had some fascinating stories on today's programme with Caroline and James before you, but this is another fascinating story. Well, God rest Kay Summersby, and God rest the thousands who were killed on D-Day, especially, as you know, most of those killed were Americans and the Allies, and they were, when they landed, they were, what was it, the Bedford Boys. I think there was 30 of them from the one little town in America, and 21 of them were killed on D-Day. It's astonishing casualty rate. But Keith McCarthy Morrow, yes, sir.
There were 120,000 Irishmen
killed in
the war.
Yeah. Well, I know there was 50,000 killed in the First World War. I don't know the casualty rate, but there was an enormous number of Irish people fighting for the Allies in the Second World War, and they did the state. I know they were shunned, some of them afterwards here, if not a lot of them, but they did the state and indeed the world some service. Thanks indeed, Keith McCarthy Morrow. Joe at rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Angela's back in her camper van from Ballyshannon to Charleville. Angela, come in.
Yes.
Come in.
Have you a little wipers for me?
Well, I tell you what, first of all, you remember we said Sligo County Council said they didn't know what you're talking about. Now they've sent us in a statement, which you predicted. Sligo County Council say, we are aware of reports of damage having been done to vehicles over the weekend while travelling between the Killoonie roundabout and the Carra Row interchange. Sligo County Council. So you've indicated, Angela. Sligo County Council.
Oh, you know, that's a great relief altogether, isn't
okay,
it?
Okay, of course. I didn't doubt you. I never doubted you. Sligo County Council can confirm that this project is being managed directly by TII, which is Transport Infrastructure Ireland. Sligo County Council are not involved in this project in any capacity. So they're passing the blood on. Yeah, okay. But they're getting the complaints. They're getting the complaints. For those travelling on the N4 dual carriage between Killooney Roundabout and Carrow Interchange who are affected by the roadworks, please submit details to the following email address, info@crjv.ie. Now, apparently CRJV are the contractors. I don't know what it stands for. Someone will tell me. Okay, where's Peter? Peter, you're a taxi driver in Sligo. Do you know the roadworks we're talking about, Peter?
Yes, I know the roadworks well.
And tell me.
And it was between the Carrow roundabout there, the flyover there, and Killooney. And that road was well cordoned off. I don't know how anyone could drive in it because there was a set of cones the whole way, narrowed in completely for one lane of traffic going out the way.
Hi, hold on here now. Are you telling me now I'm a bad driver?
No, I'm not saying a word about you being a bad driver. Well, that's okay, that's fine.
No, Peter, just clarify what you said, Peter.
All I'm saying is there was dirty work going on. It looked like as if they were putting down, for all the world, it looked like a very thin layer of tar.
Okay.
Or some kind of bonding.
But you're saying Angela was legitimately and lawfully driving along the stretch that was open.
The stretch was open, the place was being tarred, or whatever was going on there was cordoned off with a set of cones. You couldn't win on it.
So how did the materiel get onto Angela's camper van?
Well, I can't answer that. I can only say what I witnessed myself.
Okay.
And well, my car, I didn't
I'm following a line of, I think everybody else would be the same. I've been for 60 years. I know kind of the roads.
You didn't go off road, did you, Angela? You're not in a four wheel.
Absolutely not. No,
no, no, no,
no doubt. Oh, come here. Why would I be doing that in my lovely camper van? Lovely and shiny. Every time I go off, I want to polish it off now before I go again.
Any ideas what might take it off, Peter?
Well, if you get the old-fashioned paraffin oil and a cloth, a bit of elbow grease, you can get it off.
Okay, you need a lot of elbow grease.
Well, okay.
Sorry, I'm over time. Peter, I appreciate other people are saying WD-40. We've a whole list of things. But the main thing, Angela.
Yes.
Angela has not gone to ashes. You are proved once again to be telling the truth, the whole truth.
Thank you very much.
And nothing but the truth, Angela. And never deviate from that.
I bet tonight.
Yeah, in the love boat. Okay, back tomorrow, 1:45. Tara Lockwood Grant produced. And Catherine Thomas is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Step into summer with our new curtain designs and colours. Explore our latest designs in store or online.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.